Good morning again. Good to be back in the house of the Lord, worshiping God. I don't know what your week's been like. Mine was a little hectic, a little crazy. Anybody else? I know nobody else, right? I mean, it's a couple weeks before Christmas, everything is smooth, I'm sure. It's a good time for us to just come back into the house of the Lord, amen, after not just at Christmas time, but specifically this time of season when we celebrate Advent. And we're thinking about the coming, how Christ came into the world, and how he is going to return to this world and redeem us. Amen? And so I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. And we've been celebrating, so we started off with hope. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated hope. And we talked about the hope of that baby coming into the world, the Lord coming into the world as a baby, gave us hope. Because he became sacrifice for sin, right? You and I couldn't meet that. And so God sent his son in our place. And so if that doesn't make you hopeful, I don't know how to really help you. Last week, we celebrated love. Rethinking the idea of love. I mean, we think of love as feelings, this emotion that gets stirred in us, right? We talked about things people loved, like cheesesteaks and cake and all these things, but you know, those are all emotional things. But we were talking about agape love, right? Which is the kind of love that sets its affection upon something. And that's what God did. God set his affection upon you and I, and he did that by sending his son into the world to redeem mankind, right? We had gotten off a track. He set his affection on us by creating us way back in Genesis, and he loved us, and we blew that, right? And then over and over and over again, we see God choosing to love the people of Israel, not giving up on the people of Israel, which should give us hope, right? Because God doesn't give up on us. I don't know about you, but you know, we have a tendency to blow it, right? Get it wrong. And so God continues to love us and show mercy and grace to us. And so because of that, we should be people that show love and mercy and grace to others, especially those of us who bear or profess the name of follower of Jesus as Christians, right? We should be the most loving people on the planet Earth. And this week, we light the pink candle, which represents joy. And I don't know about you, but that comes in a lot of... It seems like, at least on my way over, I was thinking about this... at least for Advent for me, and I was talking to my pastor this week, is just a reminder of the basics for us as followers of Christ, right? I know sometimes you may think, man, we do Advent every year. We're always talking about hope, love, joy, and peace, right? Yeah, because you know why? Because we're sheep, right? You know why God labeled us as sheep through the scripture? Right? Because sheep are dumb, right? We're dumb. We forget real easy, don't we? Come on. I mean, I'm included, right? I'm dumb. I forget real easy sometimes. I get distracted by the things of this world, and so do you, right? And we need reminders. And that's why at Christmas time we pause to celebrate Advent, to remember the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace that came the first time with the coming of the Son of God, and which he is pouring out upon us in this in-between time before his second advent comes, when he comes to rule and reign forever. Amen? And so this is time for us to talk about these issues so that we can, guess what? Work on our issues, right? So that we can learn to be better about having better, more hopeful people, right? Because sometimes we're not very hopeful. And I know the last couple years have given us reasons not to be hopeful, but in all reality, not for the believer in Christ, right? Nothing should shake our hope in him, right? And people would say, well, you know, all this stuff has caused all this tension. There's all these tensions between people. Not for the people of Christ. We should be more loving than ever, right? And well, we you know, how do you have joy in the midst of all this? Hey, listen, we're going to talk about that today. For the people of Christ, it's supposed to be different. For those of us who profess to know Jesus, it is supposed to be different. That, listen, it's our differences from the rest of the world that attract people, not our likeness to them, right? That's what's going to draw people in. And so let me just read the reading for hope or for joy this morning. It comes from Luke chapter 2, and it is starting at verse 8. And it says, That night there were shepherds staying in fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy for all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly, the angel was joined with a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Right? Can you just imagine that as those shepherds, right? Out there just doing their thing. And all of a sudden, why would God choose to send angels to reveal this to them? Just ordinary people, right? But that's what he does. And I love it that he says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring," listen, not just joy, but he chooses to use a different word, great joy. For, listen, right? For all people, right? Not just Israel, but for the Gentile, right? For all people, not just for the saints, for the perfect, you know, for those who have it all together, but for those of us, thank God, who don't have it all together, like me, right? God said, "I bring you good news of great joy for all people." And as I was thinking this week, I don't know about you, but as a kid, I grew up, and this time of year was joyful for me because, man, I was getting presents, right? I mean, Santa Claus was coming to town, right? And that's what gave me joy, right? Now, as an adult, it's completely different. As a follower of Jesus, it's completely different, right? And I don't mean to bust bubbles, but, you know, all that stuff wasn't true that I grew up believing. It wasn't real joy. It was joy of emotion. But this joy that God wants to give you and I is an emotion that is acquired by the anticipation or the acquisition or even the expectation of something that is great and wonderful, right? And that is Jesus, right? And Jesus came, and then not only did Jesus come, but Jesus came and he lived on the earth, and he showed the disciples how to live. He taught, he exemplified who God was in the flesh for us. And then, what did he do? He was crucified for our sins. And he left. But he told us he was leaving, right? But he also told us, "I'm going to leave you a helper. I'm not going to leave you as orphan children. I'm going to give you a helper. Someone who's going to advocate for you. Someone who's going to remind you of all the things that I taught you." And so that is great news. I read one quote this week that I thought was great. He says, "If you have no joy there as a Christian, if you have no joy, there is a leak in your Christianity somewhere." Right? So if you're a follower of Jesus and you don't have joy in your life, you have a leak in your Christianity somewhere, and we need to find that and fix it. Right? Joy is not happiness based upon the happening things around us or whether things are going well or not. Biblical joy is not happiness. We see in Luke chapter 2, and I referenced Simeon and Anna, I think last week or the first week we saw them. But let's go back to that just for a moment, right? And rehash that story a little bit. Because here's two people who were anticipating with great joy the coming of the Messiah and have been waiting a long time. And the scripture tells us about Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It says, "At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and a devout man and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel," right? So that is in itself a definition of joy. He was eagerly awaiting the Messiah. "The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child up in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." So here's this man who's been eagerly awaiting and anticipating, really, the idea, with joy, the coming of the Messiah. And he could not wait. And when he saw the Messiah that day, man, he was just overjoyed. He just celebrated to the point where he was like, "Okay, Lord, I am good. I am ready to go. I could die right now. You could take me. I'm out of here. I have seen what you promised, and it is all good," right? And that is great joy. That is the great joy that Luke was talking about. And if you jump down, we see this woman named Anna, and we see her joyful reaction to the coming Messiah. She was a prophet, it says, and she was also in the temple that day. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had only been married for 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God and fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem, right? That is a woman that is full of joy, right? Imagine that, right? Married only 7 years, you know, and you got to remember, in that culture, they married really young. So probably 16, 17, you know, when she gets married only sevens, which means by the time of her mid-20s, she's widowed. And for the rest of her life, till 84, she just, all she did was eagerly anticipate the coming of the Messiah. You know, every single day at the temple, praying, fasting, calling on God. "God, rescue us, rescue us, rescue us." And can you imagine the joy that filled her heart on that day when she saw the Messiah? That's joy that nothing else can touch. And I find it interesting, too, that at least in my study of this week, I found that two things come together. That joy is often, in the New Testament at least, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, right? Which I really believe is that if you don't have joy as a Christian, there's something wrong with your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Something's not right there, right? And we need to find out what that is. Joy is also not merely just the absence of suffering, but it is the presence of God in our lives, right? In the midst of suffering, in the midst of difficult times. You know, we as a westernized Christianity here in America, as I've said it before, man, we often equate joy with happiness and things going well, but that's not what we learn when we read the scriptures, right? Most of the time, things weren't going well, right? When Simeon and Anna met the Messiah that day, things weren't going real great for Israel, right? It was a dark time. It was a tough time. But man, they rejoiced because they knew what was coming next. And as Christians today, in this world that we're living in the fear of what's the next strand of the virus going to be, and that we're all going to be dead by next Christmas, you know, because it's just going to kill us all, right? Listen, whether it's true or not, listen, none of us know when our day comes, right? But as followers of Jesus, we can live with joy in the midst of a world that seems like it's going crazy. Because joy is not based on the things happening around us. Joy is based on a person. And his name's Jesus, right? And here's where joy comes from. If you have your Bibles, you can flip to Galatians. You may be familiar. Most of you are probably familiar with this passage, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Commonly referred to as the fruit of the Spirit, right? Listen to what the scriptures tell us. Chapter 5, verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces, right? Again, remember I just told you? In the New Testament, you're always seeing joy and the Holy Spirit together. So where does joy come from? Well, he just told us. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against such things, right? Right? We don't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I am determined, I'm going to be joyful. No, joy comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit, right? And one quote I found this week reading and studying said this: no one can get joy by merely asking for it. It is one of the ripest fruits of the Christian life. And like all fruit, it must be grown. Right? It must be grown. How do we grow this joy in us? It is by your relationship with Christ. It is by your daily walking with him. This is why, as a pastor, and you hear other pastors say all the time, folks, almost to the point where, you know, we're pulling our hair out or you're sick of hearing us say it, you got to be in the Word of God for yourself. You got to pick this book up. You got to read it. And as I would often tell the church that I pastored, listen, I love you guys with everything I got, but I ain't coming home with you. I got my own wife and kids to go home to, right? I'm not coming home to live with you. You got to walk this thing out Monday through Saturday, right? We all come together to encourage each other on Sunday, but the rest of the week, you got to walk this thing out yourself. We're here for you. We're going to, you know, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call, but I can't live with you 24 hours a day, right? That's why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we would have a counselor with us. Total access, right? You don't have total access to a person all the time. You don't have total access to me all the time. I live an hour away, right? And hopefully we're really close, amen, to having a new pastor, right? Everybody's excited, right? That's awesome. But guess what? Can I just, before they come, can I just tell you something? You're not going to have 24-hour access to them, right? It's just not possible. It's just not reality, right? And so what do we need? We have a counselor. Jesus said, I am not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you a counselor, a helper, who will remind you of all those things, right? He's going to teach you and train you. And that's the good thing. That's where joy comes from, our relationship with God, our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's not something that we get instantly. It's something that has to be grown. And so if you walk around mopey-faced, angry all the time, you don't have joy, you just think, man, life sucks sometimes, and I just don't understand this, and why is this happening? If that's you, right, like he said, or like the quote I read earlier, you got a leak in your Christianity. And you got to plug that thing, right? Because it's making you miserable and miserable to be around. I've been there. I can say that because I can testify I've been there. And if my wife was here, she would testify to that same statement, right? I have been there. And there was something wrong with my relationship with God. And I had to fix that, right? But as you walk with God, and as you talk to God, and as you study the Word of God, and as you put the Word of God in your heart, man, joy just comes. It grows just like a fruit in our lives. And it's that what draws other people. Joy is a byproduct of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. I just want to show you a couple places. Back in John 14, this is where I'm coming from with this idea of how he's promised to leave us a helper, right? John 14, 15 through 21. Jesus said this: if you love me, obey my commandments. How can we obey his commandments if we don't know them, right? If we're not reading the Bible for ourselves, if you're not spending time in the Gospels, growing and stretching yourself, right? If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate or counselor or helper, depending on what translation you're using, who will never leave you. Ain't that good news? He'll never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Not some truth, not partial truth, but he will lead you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now and later, listen, and later will be in you. And that happened, right? That happened in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon all mankind, right? And you and I have full access now as New Testament believers to the Holy Spirit, right? Any time of day, we can call upon him. He teaches us truth. He leads us in the right way. Listen to what he goes on to say. The world can't receive him because they don't know him or recognize him. But we as the believers should recognize him. He lives inside of us. He says, no, I won't abandon you as orphans, Jesus said. I'll come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And since I live, you will also live. And when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Isn't that good news? That, brothers and sisters, that is where joy comes from, is us being in Jesus, and he's fully in the Father, and the Father's fully in him, and we have complete access to who God is. Amen? That is everlasting and real joy. That no matter what situation you're facing, that you can have that joy. He goes on to say, in a couple verses down, and starting in verse 23, Jesus replied, all who love me and do what I say, my Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me, and remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I've told you. That's our Advocate in the Holy Spirit. That's our Helper. And what happens in our life when we have that? Well, again, we're going to bounce around a little bit this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Says this, starting at verse 6. He says, so you received the message, listen, with joy, from where? Just take a guess if you're not reading it. The Holy Spirit, right? That's what we just talked about, right? So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe sufferings it brought to you. See, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. He's writing to this church, and they've been going through suffering. And Paul's saying, listen, you received the message with great joy in spite of the severe suffering that you're going through. So there we learn that joy, having real joy, has nothing to do with our current circumstance. You received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe sufferings that it brought to you. Listen. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now, the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. And wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome that you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And he goes on to say this, and they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, the second advent, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. So, in other words, that passage is saying, listen, the result of us walking in relationship with God should fill us with his Holy Spirit, and that should fill us with joy, and people take notice. Do you see what he said? Listen, the whole world's starting to recognize this thing that you got going on with God in Thessalonica. Everybody's talking about it. I love the way it says it. It is ringing out. And that's what I challenge you this morning, Real Life Chapel. Is that joy and that hope and that faith in Jesus Christ, does that ring out from Real Life Chapel to the surrounding area around us? Is that ringing out? It should be, right? Man, this, and it should be from this joy that we have in this relationship that we have with God. What does joy in the believer do? Well, it pleases God. Romans 14 17 through 19 says that it brings harmony to the church. They were having a little bit of a discussion over foods and what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat, and this shouldn't be done and that shouldn't be done. And Paul speaks to that in Romans 14, verse 17. Excuse me. Ooh, I got to get some stronger glasses or some larger print. But he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. For instance, oh, see, there you go. I'm not even in Romans. I'm in Acts. Mercy. Whew, I just got these too. Lord, help a brother out. All right, there we go. Now we're there. Now we're cooking with Crisco. All right. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy, listen, and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? It's goodness, living a life of goodness and peace and joy in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up, right? Let us aim for harmony within the church and build each other up. When we see brothers and sisters who are not filled with joy, who are struggling, man, that is the time we're to come together with each other. Man, I know, it's scary reaching out to somebody, maybe saying, hey, I noticed you're a little bit grouchy here lately. Your joy got a leak in it somewhere, right? But listen, if we love one another, that's what we do, right? If we love one another, we want everybody to be filled with God, and right? And so we reach out to one another. We risk, right? We risk offense for the sake of love, right? And when we do, God opens the door for us. It gives us hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We now live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach or change of change or decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed at the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while, right? So listen, church, even though you are going to face and have to endure trials before we get to heaven, right? On this earth, as long as we're here, we're going to have to face trials, and we're going to have to learn how to face them, and it says we got to learn how to endure, to live through them, right? And we can do that with great joy. James says the same thing. Remember, we just went through the book of James not long ago, but James chapter 1, look at what he says. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, don't turn and run, right? Don't just sit and cry and complain about it, but consider it an opportunity for great joy. What? Listen, he goes on. This is why, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Right? So when we face trials with great joy, when we consider it, hey, you know, I heard this week and I thought it was great, talking about suffering and stuff, and the question that we always ask, what's the question we ask when something terrible happens? Why? Why does God allow this? And the person said, the question we should be asking is not why has God allowed this, but what is God up to? When something terrible happens, as followers of Jesus, we should turn from the, because people are going to come to you and I. You profess to know Jesus, I'm just telling you, people are going to come to you when those things happen. And when they ask you, I don't understand, why is God allowing this? And the better question to ask them is, to teach them is, what is God up to in the midst of this? What is God up to? I mean, over my way this past week, we just had two young Christian brothers in a horrible accident on Tuesday. One of them was killed instantly, and the other one is in bad shape in the hospital. These guys go to a small little Baptist college in Laurel, and they had just left, been having revival services there all week, had just left there to travel to Seaford to go witnessing. And on their way, involved in a head-on collision, one of them, gone. Instantly in the presence of the Lord. And the other one's fighting for his life. Right? Why does that happen? The better question is, what is God up to in the midst of that? What is God doing? What is God going to do through this? How's God using this? Right? So, joy pleases God. Right? Joy gives us hope. Joy, our joy, points other people to Christ, particularly in the midst of difficult situations. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Paul's giving his testimony, more or less, of his hardships. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten and we have been put in prison and we faced angry mobs and worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights. We've gone without food. We have proven ourselves by our purity and our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. And here it comes right here, verse 10. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. How in the midst of living like that, where your life is constantly under threat, where you're being mistreated, where you're being beaten, where you're being abused, where it just seems like the hits keep coming, right? Anybody identify with that? Just seems like one after the other, the hits keep coming. And in the midst of that, verse 10 pops off of this page to me and says, in the midst of it, Paul's not denying the fact this is difficult. Our hearts ache. Man, we hurt. But we always have joy. How in the world? Listen, it only comes by living in relationship with Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, if the epitome of your relationship with Jesus Christ is this gathering once a week, I'm just here to tell you, that's not it. That is not living a faithful Christian life, right? Tomorrow morning, you have to wake up and decide whether or not you're going to follow Jesus, whether you're going to depend on Him for every circumstance that comes your way tomorrow. And then Tuesday morning is going to roll around. And guess what? We got to do it all over again, right? And then comes Wednesday, right? Hump day, right? But then comes Thursday. And right, if anything, as a follower of Jesus, in my opinion, right, once we reach hump day, we should be getting excited, right? Because Sunday's coming, right? I've been out in the world. You've been out in the world. You've been around worldly people. Hopefully, you've been pouring yourself out. You've been trying to share the love and the joy and the hope of Jesus Christ with people as much as you can. But Sunday's coming where you can rest and retreat in the house of God and find peace and encouragement through brothers and sisters, and sometimes challenge, sometimes get your toes stepped on, right? That's what God gave us toes for, so that somebody could step on them occasionally, right? So, right, we come here to build each other up. Why? Because tomorrow we're all back out into the world again, right? And we're all going to, I mean, just look at this group of people. I mean, this ain't a massive group of people, but there's a large group of people here. And tomorrow morning, you're going to be scattered all over the place, right? And you're taking Jesus with you. And you got work to do, right? Because you do realize, all right, if nobody told you this when you became a Christian, right, you're shepherds of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? You're supposed to take it with you where you go. And ask for opportunities for God to use you, right? And I'm not talking about going to work and preaching the gospel tomorrow necessarily, but I'm talking about going to work tomorrow and living the gospel, right? Loving on people that are difficult. Going out of your way to help somebody maybe that's a complete stranger to you, right? And not just now because it's Christmas, but this should be the norm for us as followers of Jesus. The joy that we have, this is that joy. The joy that we have wanting to share that with other people and share why we have hope in Christ and why, so when people look at you say, man, why is it that you're so joyful? Why is it that you seem to always have a smile on your face or you always seem to look at things differently than everybody else? And you can stand there and say, because of Jesus. It's because of what Jesus has done in me. It's because of the hope and the joy that I have in Christ. Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? Anybody here today need strength? Nehemiah 8:10 says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Having joy in Him, having relationship in Him, having all of our hope and our trust in Him provides strength for us. Joy changes our worship. Just a couple verses and we're almost there, all right? I know you're getting tired, but hang in there. Psalm 5, let's go through a couple psalms because joy not only affects our daily living, but joy should also affect our worship, how we worship. Psalm 5, verse 11, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them that all who love your name may be filled with joy. Joy. Real joy, not fleeting joy, not based on something that's temporary, but based on something that's forever. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the way of life, granting me, listen, the joy of your presence. Man, that's good news. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence. And the pleasure of living with you forever. Chapter 30, verse 5, just a couple verses here. See how this should change our attitude. It should change the way we worship. When we come in here to worship on a Sunday morning, and I've been there, I've done that, man, it should not be on the worship leader to have to stir you up to some type of emotional experience, right? You should come in here with the joy of the Lord in our hearts, thankful that, man, for whatever reason, God has allowed me to survive another week on this earth, right? And here I get to gather with brothers and sisters one more time in your presence, Lord. I don't know if I'll make it here next Sunday. Who knows what you have in store? But right now, I get to be in your presence with brothers and sisters in Christ and worship you and praise you because you got me through this week, you know? And each one of you, you know what this past week was for you. You know, maybe it's relationship troubles, maybe it's family trouble, maybe it's work trouble, but God has gotten you through again. He hasn't failed you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't abandoned you. And so when you come in here and the music starts, man, the worship leader shouldn't have to prod and poke you to sing and rejoice in the Lord. It should just be the natural outflow of our hearts. Oh, God, you are so awesome. You are worthy of our praise. You are so worthy of everything that I have. So, Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Listen, weeping may last through the night, but what comes in the morning? But joy comes in the morning, right? Again, don't you love that how real Scripture is? Scripture doesn't deny pain and suffering. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Why? Because when that sun rises up, man, it is a new day. God has got me through yet once again. It's what I love about being an early riser and seeing the sun come up, because it reminds me God has yet again got me through another day. I am blessed to see Him work again. And I have no idea what this day holds, but I can't worry about that. All I know is He holds the day in His hands. Amen? And that should give us joy, because we're not in control. He is. And last, I just want to close with this, because I think it's so powerful that not only did Jesus in John 14 tell us He was going to give us joy, but in John 17, if the worship team would come, in John 17, He prays for us, right? If you've never read through John 17, you really should. It's Jesus' prayer to the Father, and in it, He prays for us. And what does He pray? Starting at verse 13, He says this, "Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy." Right? Jesus told us many things that we could be filled with His joy. So once again, how do we get filled with the joy? By understanding and knowing Jesus. By reading the teachings of Jesus through the Gospels. By reading how Jesus interacted with people in His lifetime. Right? So He says, while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy, I have given them your word, and that the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I gave myself as a holy sacrifice for them, for us, so that they can be made holy by your truth. Jesus said, "I'm coming to you," and I told them many things while I was with them for the sole purpose that their joy may be full. Right? Not in the things of this world, but in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you are lacking in the joy department, right? Again, right? Just like I got in my wife's car this week and the low tire pressure light came on. So what did I have to do? I had to get out and walk around and look at all the tires, make sure that we weren't leaking somewhere, right? Listen, if you don't got no joy in your life as a follower of Jesus, you need to get out and kick the tires, right? You got a leak somewhere. Find it. Call a brother and sister in Christ, right? Open the Word of God. Be honest about your walk with Him. Maybe you say, you know, "Pastor Larry, I ain't been reading the Word. I haven't read the Word in weeks. I haven't spent time with God alone in weeks. I haven't talked to Him in months." It can all change in one moment. Just start again. Our God's a God full of mercy and grace and truth, right? And His, not only does joy come in the morning, but also, guess what? His mercies are new every morning. So just come back to Him, right? And if you're already filled with joy, and we're not talking about phony joy, running around acting all crazy, I'm talking about real joy, man, then make sure that you are spreading that joy to those around you, that you are asking God for opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the heartbeat of Advent. This is why we take time to celebrate Advent, to remember Jesus' birth, to remember His sacrifice, to remember His second coming, and also to remember that we, as the followers of Jesus, are supposed to be hope, peace, love, and joy to the world until He comes again, right? Him working through us to a lost and dying world. Amen?